Hey, y'all. You're listening to the Refined Hippie Podcast. I'm your host, Rebecca Henson. And I just want to start out this episode by saying thank you so much for everyone who has liked, commented, shared, downloaded, listened to, all those things for my first episode that I posted last week. I cannot tell you how grateful I am for all of your support, love, and encouragement. It has meant the world to me. It means the world to me. And I'm just so excited to be starting and sharing this journey with you and hope that you're enjoying it too. With this episode, it's going to be a little bit different because my guest is not with me. We did a remote interview. She is out in Colorado. I am here in Charleston. So bear with us through the sound quality. It's pretty good. We used something called Zencastr. It's a website made specifically for remote podcasting. The sound is pretty good other than there's a little bit of muffledness in some parts. And then also I feel like there's a little bit of lag when I answer certain questions, but that was because I couldn't hear her exactly perfectly. So I hope that it's not too distracting, but we have good conversation. So at the end of the day, I guess that's what matters most. And obviously if you can understand us. So, and who is she? Okay. So my guest today is Stephanie Powers. Stephanie and I met when she was living in Charleston a couple years ago. And we pretty much hit it off when we learned that we were both on healing journeys. She had actually already healed herself of a certain autoimmune disease, which you'll learn about. And so obviously I gravitated towards that because it was like, wow, oh my gosh, somebody else who has healed through all these various ways, which we will get to that. So I don't want to disclose too much. But from there, she healed herself, which that's a crazy story in it all together in itself. And she also found a new passion, which was holistic health. So she went on to become a holistic health coach. Sounds like a similar story, right? But as she was coaching people and trying to help heal them, she realized that all the kale in the world could not heal these people's hearts because there was a lot of emotional baggage, trauma, and just a spiritual void that most of her clients had. So from there, she had found a new calling, which was to focus on the spiritual and emotional aspect of healing. She started a website or a podcast and an Instagram called Lightworkers Lounge, and now has almost 100,000 followers on Instagram. So she has a huge following. Obviously it resonates with a lot of people. I can bet that it probably will resonate with you because if you're a human, you probably have had traumas in your life as we all have, all different forms. But we chat about all kinds of fun things, astrology, healing, nutrition, and how emotions play into healing our bodies physically and mentally. So without further ado, here is my interview with Stephanie Powers. Hey, Stephanie.
Hey, Rebecca. Thank you for having me on the show.
Oh, thanks for being on. Mm-hmm. All the way in Colorado.
Yes, and I have my pug, Jeffrey, right by my side, so I'm sorry to your audience that they can hear him snoring, biting, growling, licking.
Well, he is a fucking Jeff guest show. As well, having you both on together.
Yes.
So I looked it up yesterday, which I think is really fun, that you are 1,987 miles away from Charleston.
That is really far.
Isn't that crazy? 2,000 freaking miles.
My cabin is like 9,000 feet up in the air, over a mile. So
What?
Uh-huh.
And I'm like below sea level right now.
I know. That's crazy. I know. I don't miss that Charleston heat.
Oh my gosh. It's horrible. It's been super hot. Like, I think we had record highs last week. The nights, this weekend was actually kind of nice though. Well, I don't know.
I do miss Sullivan's Island. I saw your latest Instagram post and I felt nostalgia.
Yes. Oh my gosh. We went to a party there on Saturday and we were there like the whole day and then like walked on the beach and yeah. I do love the beach. Love it. But the mountains are amazing. But you're in Telluride. So how did you choose Telluride? It's a pretty small town, isn't it?
Oh, it's a very small town. And I like to think that I was divinely guided here. If that makes any sense. Like, I lived in Denver for a year last year, and Denver is not Colorado. Being someone born in the Midwest, raised in the Northeast, I kind of envisioned Denver to look like Telluride, you know? You think of Colorado in the mountains, but Denver looks like Kansas. It's flat, buildings, that's it. But you can see the Rocky Mountains in the background.
Yeah. Oh, weird. I would have never thought that either.
I know. So I actually had a childhood friend, Ryan Tower, come on my podcast last year, and he was from Telluride, and he got me to come out here, and I fell in love. I just looked around at the views and the town and thought, this cannot be real. It's like Charleston, one big movie set.
What? I looked up some pictures, and I was like, that looks like magic. It looks
crazy. I'm sure you've seen my Instagram, my gondola ride.
Yeah. Yeah, and all your photos are just like something out of National Geographic or something.
Oh, yeah. It's not hard to get a beautiful photo out here.
Wow. Yep. Well, I need to make it out there sometime. I've only been once to Colorado, and it was for spring break in college, which is not really the normal spring break place to go. And we went to Crested Butte. Like skiing, my boyfriend at the time wanted to go. He loved to ski, and I'm a terrible skier. Oh, I just haven't skied very much, So I basically just stayed in the room the whole time.
Oh, but it's beautiful, and there's really good energy out here.
Yeah, totally. So I want to chat a little bit how we met. Well, you're in Colorado now, but you used to be in Charleston.
I did. So my ex-husband and I lived in Charleston, and at the time I was a holistic health coach at my private practice, Evolve to Health, but I wanted to get out and meet people, so I got a part-time job at Eucalyptus Wellness, our town's local smoothie supplement shop, and that's where we met.
I know. It was so fun. So I remember coming in. I still go in all the time. And I love the girls who work there now are amazing. But you were working there and I would come in and get my smoothies. And I think we just I would just come and hang out because I just wanted to talk to people.
And me too. Yeah. You come in, you get your Blue Magic smoothie.
My favorite.
So good. But you and I just felt like instant friends. Like we've known each other before.
Totally. And then you told me because I was – I know. And at that time, I was trying to heal. I don't think – I was not fully healed from my autoimmune disease.
Yeah.
And then you shared your story about how you had healed, and it was just like immediately like, oh, my gosh. And I can't overlook the fact that you love animals as much as I do. So anybody who loves animals like I do, I'm like, we're kindred spirits.
Do you remember the movie you told me about? It was – Did it start with an O?
Oh, Oteu.
Yes.
On Netflix.
Yes. That was
spelled a really weird way. Yeah.
Yes.
Did you watch it?
Oh, girl, three times. And I cried harder with every time.
No. I've seen it several times. It's
such a good message.
Oujji or something. It's spelled a really weird way. It's spelled a weird way that it's not pronounced. So you're like, what?
Or something.
Oh, my God. I totally forgot about that.
So your audience can check that out.
Yes. Watch it.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. Yeah. So that movie.
Okay. Do you want to know how crazy Colorado is? When we started this show, it was sunny and warm. And now there's hail. Like big chunks of hail just falling on the ground. I'm so confused.
Actually hail. Wow.
Yeah. Wow. Oh, girl. Just like a week or two ago, we had 8 to 12 inches of snow.
I know, I saw that on your Insta, and I was like, what? And I was over here literally, like, roasting if I went outside. It was, like, the complete opposite of what we have right now.
Okay, so we met at Eucalyptus and we were instant friends. And then I think the coolest part of our connection is you went on to design the cover of my book.
Yes, I know. And you wrote a book. I mean, so obviously we're going to get to that. Yeah. You wrote a freaking book, girlfriend.
I did. I'm a Barnes & Noble published author.
Wow. That's amazing. So you wrote a book. So we'll get to, obviously, about that. Mm-hmm. What was your book about?
It's about the thyroid. It's called Thyroid First Aid Kit. And it's a 3-step guide on how to naturally reverse any hormonal related disease. Not just something with the thyroid, like hypothyroid, hyperthyroid, Hashimoto's. It's anything with the hormones. So I was diagnosed with Hashimoto's when I was 25. And the doctor told me that I would have it for life, that I would struggle to ever conceive and carry a baby to full term. And he just said, do you want to get your thyroid removed now or later? And I was like, no, I'm so healthy. I don't think I need to remove one of the most vital organs in my body right now.
Did you have symptoms? Like, why did you even go to the doctor?
Like, what was going on? I did not. Well, okay, looking back, I did have symptoms, but I just chalked it up to stress. Mm-hmm. I just went for a regular OBGYN appointment, and I mentioned on my health history that my mom had thyroid cancer, and for some reason, the doctor was like, oh, we need to check your levels. And I thought, okay. So we did, and I ended up being really hyperthyroid, which means my thyroid was producing too many hormones. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, immediately went to go see a specialist, got more blood work done, and lo and behold, I had the antibodies for Hashimoto's autoimmune disease.
And so they were just like, okay, we need to schedule a surgery. We're just going to take this out.
Oh, yeah. And I wasn't even on a holistic path. I mean, I was healthy a little bit, but nowhere near where we are now.
No.
And I just remember thinking like, okay, well, doctor, can you tell me how I got this and not just what we need to do? Like, why do I have this? Where did I go wrong? I said, is there anything I can eat that might potentially reverse it or help it? And he just looked down, super nervous, and said, more kale. And walked out of the room.
He said more kale.
He just said eat more kale without even making eye contact and left the room without even saying.
Was that a joke? That was kind of, that's almost like a joke to say such a thing.
I honestly feel like he was just afraid. Like, I feel like doctors can get in trouble nowadays for saying dairy or, you know what I mean?
I know, they totally can. Well, they don't have enough training on it anyways. I mean,
if they do say such a thing.
Yeah, it's like super surprising. You're like, what? They told you not to have dairy? That's so like revolutionary for the doctor actually say that.
I will never forget in Charleston, actually, I scheduled another OBGYN appointment just to establish a new doctor relationship. And she looked at my medical records and saw that I reversed Hashimoto's. Like, I went from having 47 antibodies on my lab work to 0. And she was like, how did you do that? Like, there's no medication for this. This is next to impossible. And I told her, well, basically, I started off by going gluten-free. And she just looked at me and was like, so you don't eat like sandwiches or pizza or, and I was like, wow, this is so bad. I honestly, that was the last time I've been to a doctor. And that was in 2016.
Wow.
I literally said, you know what?
Wow.
I'm not back. I am my own best doctor.
Same here. I actually did find a really, I hadn't been to the doctor, and this is kind of off subject, but not really, obviously. I hadn't been into the girly doctor is what I call her in years. And then my chiropractor actually suggested this, lady. And when I Googled where she, like her bio and stuff like that, she has studied functional medicine, Ayurveda. Like, she's all into like holistic healing, but she is an actual like doctor. So I went to her and she's amazing. I know. Like, she's great. So I actually have, it's really nice to have at least somebody that you know who is, you know, a medical,
that's
in the medical
awesome.
Profession, but also on the same page, you know?
Yeah, and that's something
otherwise I would just never go to the doctor.
With your audience, totally, is that you guys don't have to settle for just someone in your network. Of course, financially speaking, that's better. But like you just said, there are MDs out there that are trained holistically.
Yeah. And she's in my network, which was even more of like, what?
What?
What? I know.
That is rare.
Oh, yeah. I would not know. I would not have gone if she wasn't in my network. I have spent a fortune on functional doctors and, you know, all kinds of stuff that aren't in my network. So I was like, no, I'm fine. And there's nothing wrong. Like, I'm well right now. I just hadn't been to, you know, just get a checkup, I guess.
Right. Kind of thing. It's good to get a yearly checkup. I totally agree with that.
Yeah.
You know where I don't go anymore, so, though? Like, it's been 5 years.
Where?
The dentist.
Oh, my gosh. I never go. I know. I need to, though, because I have okay. I didn't take that great of care of my teeth when I was younger. Mm-hmm. In that I just, like, didn't – I would just tell my mom that I flossed, but I actually hadn't, that kind of thing. And my diet was way – obviously, like, I ate the normal, like, 90s kid diet, which was terrible.
Oh, God.
So I have fillings, and they're, like, they constantly need to be redone, like, every, you know, decade or so. Mm-hmm. So, like, I need to go more often, but I don't. Oh, gosh.
Yeah, I don't either. I just oil pull.
Yes, I know. I used to do that last year. I haven't been doing that as much. So you had Hashimoto's.
Yes.
Like, how long do you think that it took you to heal? Like, what
a year.
did you start doing research, or like what was your like method of information?
Yeah,
like,
so
how did you get your information?
I met that doctor and I said, there's no way I'm scheduling surgery to remove my thyroid. Like, it blows my mind that I was only 25. I didn't know about holistic health, but there was just this strong intuitive knowing that getting my thyroid removed was not the answer. I just thought there has to be a way. Like, I love my body. I trust my body. My body has healed from so many things throughout my 25 years of life. There's no reason why I can't heal from this. So I just went home. I looked up books. I looked up Instagram accounts. I looked up holistic doctors and read their websites. I just dove in deep. Like, I had no social life, barely, like, did anything but research. I mean, I became obsessed with this. And what I found out is everything in thyroid first aid kit. So I take like a year's worth of research, personal research, but also talking to people who have Hashimoto's and thyroid diseases. And I compiled it into 3 chapters in thyroid first aid kit.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So, like, gluten was a main one.
Gluten is the main one. Gluten should have its own podcast episode.
But do you think that it's the glyphosate in the
exactly.
I mean, that's what I think. Yeah.
Because think about it, all of our great grandparents, ancestors, like, bread was a staple food, and nobody had any issues with it. Now all of a sudden, it's covered in pesticides. It's grown like 10 times as bigger and more as it's naturally supposed to. But basically, what example I give my clients when we're talking about it is glyphosate on the wheat. It is a pesticide. So when a bug eats it, it explodes. It explodes. Ugh. So if you're putting little pieces of that in your stomach, what is it doing? It's exploding and causing little holes to be torn in your stomach lining. And then you know what happens next? Leaky gut. All the food, everything that goes in your stomach leaks through these holes, gets into your bloodstream, and the body attacks itself trying to remove these foreign particles.
Glyphosate.
Yeah. You need its own podcast episode. The story.
Oh my gosh. I need. Oh, 100%. Did you just see that the couple was awarded like $2 billion?
Yes. See? How is that not like all over every social media channel, every news channel? Like, hello, people. This stuff causes cancer.
I know. And then LA, there's a bunch of cities, Miami. I think actually maybe all of Tennessee or Virginia, I can't remember which one, is banning it. Yeah.
They banned it.
And then LA is doing it, you know, I think it's like a moratorium kind of idea because they're like, we need some more research on this. Like, so
what research do you need? My question.
There's so much. There's already so much research. It's so freaking annoying. Yeah. Like, are you familiar with Zach Bush?
It sounds really familiar.
Oh, you should look him up, girl. And he has these amazing podcasts with different people. But he's a doctor. He's like a triple. I talked about him on my last podcast because I love him.
Put him on the show.
Triple. Yeah. Oh my gosh. I wish. Maybe I should reach out to him. That would be freaking awesome. He studied, like, that's all he has studied. Well, he was a cancer researcher, mm-hmm. and then it was just like a snowball effect. And then he came to, you know, researching more about actually what glyphosate does uh-huh. to the body and to cancer and all this stuff. But anyways, where was I going with that? Anyways, he's awesome. You should look him up.
With glyphosate, like, people wonder why so many kids are born with food allergies. I mean, I'm sure you know there's mm-hmm. so much more to it, but I mean, all of those. I remember working at Eucalyptus and people would come in and say, my child hasn't pooped in 2 weeks. Like, oh, God. What? Yeah, and they're like, I've been giving him yogurt. I don't know why it's not working.
Oh, my gosh.
Girl,
poor kid. I don't even know how that's physically possible.
Mm-hmm. And then they go down the list of everything they're allergic to. And I'm like, a fresh newborn child should be so strong with their immune system, with everything. They shouldn't be allergic to strawberries.
Oh my God. And it's so random. I mean, when I was growing up, I don't remember. I went to a small school, but there was not a single person in my school that had an allergy like they have now, like peanuts or whatever, you know. I didn't know anybody.
Yeah. And I can only imagine if you were to go into a school today. Imagine all the kids who have celiac disease or can't even be in the same room as someone opening up a sandwich.
They have to out. I know. Well, a lot of the schools have, you know, no peanut policies and no XYZ. Like other kids can't. Yeah, they can't even bring them in their lunchboxes because other kids might.
Are so compromised. And of course, like, we won't go off on a tangent here, but it's because
I know I could.
Yeah, I know, me too, because they're not being born naturally and getting all that bacteria from the vagina on them to build their immune system, but it's mostly because they're born into a toxic chemical soup. Like, one thing that blows my mind is when babies are born, you know how they do the cute little, like, if it's a boy, they'll put blue paint on his feet, or if it's a girl, they'll put pink paint. But in my mind, I'm like, the foot is a direct connection to every organ in the body.
Oh my God.
Red food dye or blue food dye, as soon as they come out, to make a little cute footprint as a keepsake. But it's like, boom.
Oh my gosh, I never do that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
And then they give him a bath with all this fragrant scented soap. It's just like these poor freaking kids.
I know. I feel like this the pendulum is swinging, though, that people are more aware now. I mean, it hasn't changed too much, but
people are waking up for sure.
Yeah.
It's interesting. That's a good analogy, the pendulum, because I feel like there's some people that are just on the worst end of the spectrum in terms of just chemicals, but they don't realize it. And I hope your audience knows we're not painting these people to be bad. They just don't know.
Oh, they just don't know.
I used to be there. I didn't know.
Come on, no freaking clue.
I have autoimmune disease.
No. I mean, I thought I was, you know, quote unquote healthy. I ate my whole wheat pasta and
vitamin water.
Oh my gosh, yes. I love those things.
No clue. Yeah, full of sugar. Me too. I thought I knew. Well, we're learning, but there's also a lot of people who are awakening to the fact that, oh my gosh, it is next to impossible to live chemical-free or eat healthy without pesticides.
And it can seem overwhelming too. And then it's like, well, what's the point? You know, it's everywhere.
Yeah, and then people think, well, I can't eat healthy.
Yeah.
You should have a whole episode on eating healthy on a budget, or like, yes, you can afford to eat healthy.
I know. Well, I mean, I think as far as like organic goes, mm-hmm. if you can't buy everything organic, it's really important to look at the, what is it? Clean 15, Dirty 12.
Dirty Dozen.
Dirty Dozen. Yeah. I was like, Dirty 12? That doesn't sound right. Dirty Dozen.
Dirty Dozen. I just posted something about that on Instagram.
Dirty Dozen. Yeah. Which, I mean, I kind of do that, like, just because it's like, well, this is, you know, it's okay because they don't really spray very much. They don't spray anything on, you know.
My rule of thumb that I teach my clients is if you eat the skin, you must make sure you buy organic. So strawberries, blueberries, apples, you know, you eat the skin of those, so make sure they're organic. But things like bananas, avocados, mangoes, you know, mm-hmm. there's some lenience with that since you don't eat the skin. So go ahead and buy them non-organic.
Totally. I mean, strawberries and apples are the worst. I mean, they have tons of pests too. So oh they just gosh. Really douse.
Yeah. PSA for everybody listening, always buy organic strawberries.
Always. They are a chemical bomb. Like, yes. Ugh.
You know what? I want to ask you your opinion on something. And I think we've talked about this off the show before, but it's a really good debate mm-hmm. to have. So I know when I lived in Charleston, we were surrounded by farms, as I'm sure mm-hmm. you visited, like strawberry picking, pumpkin mm-hmm. picking. Like, you're surrounded by farms out there. So I have this great mm-hmm. debate that I always love to talk with my healthy friends about. Would you rather buy organic produce that comes all the way from Mexico or purchase local? Even if it's not organic.
It depends on what it is. If it's strawberries, I'm going to get it from Mexico. Sorry. Like, yeah. I know. I think that it does work. I think it's worse to have all those chemicals than it would be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think that's
I agree. And I've had some people say, well, that organic strawberry from Mexico, like so many hands with germs have touched it and it's been surrounded by car exhaust, plane exhaust.
But I mean, the problem with, I think when it comes from like Mexico is when they're, what is it called? Irradiated or what? They irradiate them?
Yep.
Do you know? Yeah. So, I mean, that's an issue, obviously, but it's still not as bad as all of the chemicals.
Yeah.
So.
I agree.
Yeah.
I totally agree.
But I mean, I do buy some, I go to the farmers markets and, well, there are several, well, okay, there's one farm here that does have local produce. So like when I go to the farmer's market, I seek that table.
Yeah.
You know, like I go beeline it straight to the organic like section yeah. of the farmer's market.
And you know, that's a good point to share with people is that when you go to a farmer's market, you have to be aware. You can't just walk in and accept that, oh, everything's local and organic because it's a farmer's market. I've been to farmer's markets in like Charlotte, North Carolina or something. And they literally, it was no different than going to Walmart and buying bananas and then putting it on a pretty table at the farmer's market and trying to sell it.
Oh my gosh. Not and a lot local. Of times I feel like sometimes they actually get this stuff from, like they're not even from their farm. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh no, they don't. They'll get stuff from anywhere and just set up shop at a farmer's market.
Yeah, because I'm like, you don't have banana trees here.
Exactly. That's exactly what I saw as bananas. So I went up to them and I'm like, oh, local to South Carolina bananas? Where's the plantation at? I want to go see. Yeah. And they're like, oh no.
I was like, wow.
I'm like, it's from Florida.
Oh my gosh. I'm from Nicaragua. You know, we just like
mm-hmm.
imported
Costa
them here.
Rica.
Grocery store does. Yeah, Costa Rica. That's a big one.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm going to go with the Mexico produce on that one.
Yeah, and like you said, it depends on what it is, too.
Depends, totally. I mean, we have a place, you know, Boone Hall Farms, which has the strawberry patch or the strawberry picking. And I haven't asked, but I'm pretty sure they're not organic. And I'm not going to go get those straw. Like, I feel bad. I don't feel that bad. I mean, I feel sad, I guess. I don't feel bad. I feel sad that I can't go and have that experience of, like, strawberry picking, you know?
I know.
Because it's so fun.
It's so fun. I love it. There's nothing better than picking your own food. Washing it, preparing it, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I talked about it on my last podcast is that my grandmother had a really amazing garden. And I just remember, like, this, well, they're like the distinct smell of the yeah. garden. And she had strawberries and blueberries and black eyed peas and green peas. And all of those things were just naturally organic, you know?
Yeah. Like, so yummy. Do you have a garden or a little area around your home that you can go through?
Oh, my gosh. I have the tiniest little. Yeah. I have basil and mint. And mm-hmm. then I actually have been doing scallions. So you can chop off the top, like you can buy scallions, mm-hmm. chop off the top part of it and just leave like kind of the white root, yeah. the right part, the white bottom part and the root, and then put them in water and they will regrow.
That's what I do with my lettuce, scallions, everything.
Ooh, I need to do that with lettuce. lettuce. That's fun.
Yeah. Oh, it's awesome. And it works really fast.
But I want a garden. We actually, I bought all of these seeds, these organic seeds from this place up in Asheville, I think. Oh. I can't think of what it's called now. But and I've had them for months. But we don't have like a big yard. We don't have a yard at all, really. We have like a tiny little, like a patio and then like a tiny little area in front of our house. But we are going to build a garden soon.
Yes.
Like a little small one.
I can picture you growing the best. Because I want to have a table at a farmer's market. I can see
it. I know. I wouldn't go that far. But I just want to be able to go outside and, you know, chop off my own kale and whatever.
I'm telling you, I've been saying my dream is to walk outside barefoot, grab an avocado off the tree, slice it open, put it on my toast, call it a day.
That would be amazing. Yes. Amazing. I watched this. This is totally random now. Now we're just chit-chatting. I saw this thing with Oprah yesterday. Mm-hmm. She was talking about the guy interviewing her asked, like, what's the most normal thing that you do? Because obviously her life is not normal anymore. And she said that she carries her own bananas and avocados everywhere she goes. And then he was like, that's kind of normal. And then she was like, yeah, well, I just don't trust everybody else's avocados. And I have my own avocado orchard. And he was like, okay, this is not normal anymore.
What?
She just bought an avocado orchard because she was like, you know, I just want my own avocados. I don't trust yours.
Wait, where is this orchard at?
I don't know. Oh. Oprah owns like half the world. So,
so cool. Hey, I eat avocados. I just slice them and eat them. Like, that's it.
I know. Straight up. They're no, I had avocados. It was delicious. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Helps balance hormones. Helps super healthy fat.
Yep.
Unsaturated fat. So let's talk about Lightworkers Lounge.
Yay!
Which is your podcast. Yay! Cool. And your baby, your passion.
Uh-huh.
But how did you get to that spot?
Oh. It's perfect. It's just so, the story of how this happened is so organic and so natural. I love the universe. It always takes care of me. So as a holistic health coach, I would have client sessions and I started to notice a pattern that we would only talk about emotions. We would only talk about their recent breakup or how stressed they are at their job that they don't really have a passion for. It just pays the bills. We talk about childhood traumas. And eventually I was just like, I don't know if I have a gift for people feeling very comfortable to share these vulnerable stories with me or what. But then I realized that these people would become physically healthy just by sharing their emotional stuff. And I thought, this is what I love. I don't want to talk about gluten-free, dairy-free, eating organic with these clients who've got so much weight on their hearts. So from that, Lightworkers Lounge was born because I realized there's so many people that want to be physically healthy, but they can't because their mental health is imbalanced. So I just thought, I'm going to start a podcast. I'm going to talk about my personal struggles, the struggles of people I've met. And then it just turned into like spirituality and self-help and just a cool community of light workers.
So what's the definition of a light worker for somebody who doesn't know?
So a light worker is, everyone's a light worker. Everyone is born a light worker. It's not some secret society, but a light worker is someone who the veil has been lifted. They can see beyond things. Like for you and I, we can see beyond the food system in America and how factory farming is terrible and how pesticides are really harming our health. It's someone who's awakened to the fact that they are here for a very important purpose, not just to work 9 to 5, eat a standard American diet, party, go to bed, wake up, repeat. You are here for a very important purpose. You're here to help someone or lots of people. You're here to change the world, to elevate the world. That's a light worker.
Wow.
Yeah. You're one.
So for me, when I was really sick, you know, I went plant-based and that got me about 90% healed.
Of course.
But the rest of it, I realized it was like, why am I not healing, you know? Mm-hmm. And it was the emotional side.
Yeah.
That was totally blocked.
Yeah. And we talk about that in Thyroid First Aid Kit. The emotional connection to a dysfunctioning thyroid, whether you have hypothyroid, hyperthyroid, Hashimoto's, Graves' disease, is you're not speaking your truth. So your heart is telling you one thing, but your head is stepping in and saying, no, that's not true, or you can't have that, you can't be that. So there's a disconnect. And what is in between your heart and your head? Your throat. So all that energy is stuck right there. And that is hard. And I can speak firsthand. I was not speaking my truth for so long. I was working a job I didn't like. I was married to someone who I loved, but I knew wasn't the one. I was not speaking my truth. So my thyroid just had all that energy and all that truth that I so badly wanted to speak and get out. And it was stuck there. So of course my thyroid was on overdrive, spitting out too many hormones because it's like, I need to get this energy out somehow.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Is your throat chakra, yeah?
Oh yes. It was actually very, very closed up. I got a chakra photo taken and all my chakras were really good, but my thyroid, my throat chakra was the size of a pencil mark.
What?
Yeah, because I was not speaking my truth.
Wow.
Yeah. Giving too much, not enough to myself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So there's like a good book called Heal Your Body by Louise Hay. It talks about
the emotional energy.
Mine is so worn and torn because I look at it every single day. Like back issues, like if you have a stiff or a sore back, it represents financial worries. It's really good.
Yeah. I love her. She's...
Yeah,
me too. I mean, reading about her helped me a lot too, and just
so what was your emotional connection? I know you just said there was still 10% unhealed.
I think that when I was okay, there was a lot that was going on for sure. At the end, when I was trying to heal, I was still stuck on the fact that I was sick and fixated on this idea that I would never fully heal and that I would be sick forever and that I would never lead a normal life kind of thing. Like in my mind, I was just fixated on this, like just being a sick person, like just, I don't know, like associating myself, because for my whole life, I felt like I was a healthy person. I mean, obviously there were things going on that I didn't realize, but overall I seemed like a really healthy person. And I felt almost, I guess, invincible, you know, because I never got really sick. And I feel like a lot of people feel that way when you're in your 20s anyways, because your own mortality is...
I can eat whatever I want.
So far away. Yeah. But I think emotionally, I mean, I have a lot of... I mean, everybody has trauma from their childhood or, you know, and everybody's looks differently. I mean, my parents got divorced, and I'm not going to go into all that today because that would take a while. But it was just, I don't know, just a lot of that kind of stuff.
A culmination of things.
Yeah, a culmination of things. And I guess just trying to finally, like, talk about it with other people. I mean, I talked to a therapist, and I am an open book for the most part. Like, I will tell anybody my story. Like, I'm not ashamed of it, but I think when it came to the being sick part, I needed to talk to somebody who was unbiased a little bit, you know, or not that my family's biased, I suppose. Mm-hmm. Well, they are. But just somebody is an outsider, you know. It helps to talk to an outsider.
Of course. It's a conflict of interest when it comes to your family. You guys are so enmeshed and you share energies. Yeah, you have to seek outside. And that's something I've done. I've worked with an emotional health consultant, counselors, therapists. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I want to mention something that you said. You kind of held on to your diagnosis, like, I am this person with this disease. Mm-hmm. I had a really good therapist in South Carolina who never told me what she diagnosed me with, because I actually got to go for free through an employee like benefits package when I worked for a corporate job. And she would have to diagnose me with something in order to get like 5 more free sessions. And I would always like look at her notepad and be like, do I have anxiety? Do I have depression? What do I have? And she would just look and smile and say, you'll never know. And eventually we worked together for a year, and I finally was like, I'm not going to ask what you diagnosed me with, but why don't you tell people? And she's like, because they hold on to that identity. If I were to tell you, hi, Stephanie, yep, you have anxiety. Here it is on record. You have anxiety. I'd hold on to that. And I would go around, and anytime I was triggered or felt a little bit stressed, I'd be like, oh, well, I have anxiety. So this is it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And it's not that I want it to be that, because I've talked to some people, or one therapist who is like, which some people do this, that it becomes, they're afraid to get well because they like the attention or something. And I'm the opposite. I don't want, like, that was the worst part about being sick, was that I hated that type of attention. I hated people constantly being like, and they still do this. And I'm like, I've been healed for years. Can we stop? Like, yeah. And they say it with such pity in their voice too. Like, how are you? And I know they mean well. Mm-hmm. But it like stabs me in the heart every time.
I'm not that person anymore.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And like when I was sick, I mean, it just like perpetuated it even more. It's just like, oh my gosh, please. Like, I don't want this attention. I don't want you to look at me with your sad eyes. Mm-hmm. And which is nice that you care, but it makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah, I'm normal. I agree. When I was on my autoimmune protocol and really working on my diet, people would always just be like, oh, she can't eat gluten. She can't eat dairy. Steph can't have this. Here, Steph, I guess you can just keep this leaf. It's like, thank you. Appreciate it.
Yes. People still kind of do that a little bit to me. Mm-hmm. And they say like, oh, you can't have this. No, I choose not to have that now because I know it is junk.
Boom. I love that. So that's my
motto. If I ate it, I wouldn't like end up in the hospital. Like, you know, it's not like I don't have celiac. I just know that things bioaccumulate and cause minor inflammation, and I don't want that in my body.
It's incredible how in tune you get with your body once you become healthy and you can feel it. Like if you go vegan and you cleanse yourself, and then maybe you try a Snickers bar, maybe you try a piece of cheese later. Yeah, sure, it tastes good. Of course, your taste buds are loving it, but you'll feel it in your body. I know for me, when I do eat cheese or dairy, my body produces a lot of mucus, and I'll have to cough a lot.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And that's the way so it out.
See, I don't even – it doesn't – foods like that don't even appeal to me anymore at all. Neither. You know,
I look at them, I'm like, okay, sure, I'll have a bite of that, and I'm like, oh, never mind.
And then you do and you don't like it. You're like, why did I eat that? That was silly.
Exactly.
And like sweets and stuff, I used to like sweets more. I don't as much. I would rather just have like an apple. Like, it tastes so much more like, God, just refreshing.
And
you know,
than like, a like, why does anybody eat anything else?
Eat them every day, all day.
Yes.
For my life.
So good.
They're so good. I actually had like, have you ever had an like authentic acai bowl, like from Brazil?
I don't know. I don't think so. I have one in Costa Rica. Does that count?
Actually, maybe.
It was not maybe as sweet as they are here in the U.S.
Yes, exactly. So in the U.S., they add sugar.
Of course. So no wonder. Concentrate.
Yeah, yeah. What do you think they add? Sugar. No wonder it tastes so good. So yeah, that was probably an authentic one. I mean, I had one like a couple weeks ago from, well, I was in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and they had like an Iron Man thing there. Mm-hmm. And so there were all these tents set up. And anyways, I saw an acai tent. So I was like, oh my gosh, we have to go over there. And it was organic acai. And then it said authentic Brazilian acai, and I was like, what? And the guy was like, yeah, we get the acai berries straight from Brazil. Like, we have this special machine. It's like totally not like normal acai in America.
Like a machine amazing. That makes the base. The
like, I don't know. Yeah. That like, I don't know why. I can't remember why he said it was what it did differently. Mm-hmm. But it's the way that they're crushed or something that makes it. I think that in America, they're because they're usually frozen, and then they have maybe more water or something in them. I don't know. I can't remember.
And then they just taste like a bottle. But it tastes different. It's so wrong.
I know. And then they add a lot of sugar. I mean, there's a place here in town that is downtown that I'm obsessed with, but
it's bold, right?
Sugar. Beach.
Yes.
What's that?
Bravo. Yeah,
I love them.
When I was there.
Ooh.
The little purple bus.
Is that the one that's, yeah, that's the bus one.
Mm-hmm. It's so good.
Yeah.
They're so good.
I never can, there's usually like a long line in the summer because they're only open in the summer.
Around the house. Can we talk about that? How Lightworkers Lounge is going to create a cafe called Divine Banana?
Oh my gosh, please, yes. Yep.
Let's talk about rights to the name. Don't even cry, people. It's called Divine Banana. And I'm going to have acai bowls based off of the zodiac. So like the Capricorn bowl, the Pisces bowl, the Leo bowl.
Oh my gosh, so freaking cool.
Yeah. When's your birthday?
So how did you get to zodiac? I'm a Leo.
You're a Leo, but what's your moon sign? Do you know?
Oh, my moon sign is... Oh, crap. I looked that up one time.
We can pull your chart right now if you know what time you're born.
Pull it, girl. Pull it.
Okay. Where were you born?
Laurinburg, North Carolina.
No, I knew it. I was like, I knew you're from one of the Carolinas.
So, well, I'm from South Carolina, but Laurinburg is where my mom's doctor was. Yeah. And North Carolina is 20 minutes away from my hometown. Like, my hometown is on the border of North Carolina. So it's in South Carolina, but we're super close to North Carolina. Well, you've heard of south of the border. We're close by.
Yes, I have. Oh, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. I grew up 20 minutes away, 30 minutes away from south of the border.
I can only imagine the stories. Are you a July or August Leo?
So Laurinburg, it's spelled with an I. Do you see it, Laurinburg?
Yeah.
With an I.
I got it.
Sorry.
Are you August? Sorry, August, interrupted right? you.
Yes, August. August 6th.
Hey, I'm December 6th. In what year?
Nice. 1985. Do I want to say this on national? national. I'm old.
Telling me your birth time on air.
Oh, no. I think it was 4:35, but it might have been 3:35 or 4:35. Is that hour going to make that big of a difference?
It might, yeah. But at least we'll know your three main placements. Is it a.m. or p.m.?
P.m.
P.m. I was born at 3:15 p.m. We're so similar.
Nice.
Oh, girl, you are all.
This is why I don't like
my God. You have one of... text me later to clarify if that's your right birth time, because you have one of the most interesting charts I've ever seen. You have a Leo sun, a Aries moon, and a Sagittarius rising. You cover all three fire sign bases.
Oh, Lord. No wonder.
God,
my poor personality is so wild and fiery.
Fire.
Explains a lot.
You get shit done. When you want to do something, you'll do it. Nothing can stop you. Otherwise, you'll burn it down and keep going.
What?
But
okay, so what was it? So the moon sign was which?
Aries.
I'm writing this down.
Yeah, your moon.
Aries.
Aries is like the athlete of the zodiac. They are very competitive. They are very feisty. Don't get in their way because they will burn you down. They want to be the captain of the football team or the captain of all the teams. They're feisty.
I'm definitely feisty. That is definitely
your sun Leo. It's got to be all about you. You don't mind being the center of attention. That does not faze you at all. And with your rising,
sometimes
you're always looking for higher knowledge. You always want to learn more, more, more.
Yes, that is definitely true these days.
It's hard for you to settle in one.
So, how did you get into all the zodiacs?
How did I get into it?
Yeah.
So I've always been into astrology since I was a little girl. I would check my Sagittarius horoscope all the time. I loved it. And it was just last year that I learned that there's so much more to your birth chart than just your sun sign. That is just a little piece of your pie. So I learned that I have a Scorpio moon, which makes so much sense. And I also have a Taurus rising, which is why I'm such a hippie and just want to be outside barefoot. But I just figured, like, with astrology, it's like an excuse to be who you really are. It just helps you figure out why you think the way you do, why you act the way you do, especially in romantic relationships or close friendships or with your family. You can totally understand why. And it just, it gives you a sense of peace and calm to be like, oh, that's why I feel this way. There's nothing wrong with that. That's just like my little stardust DNA.
Yeah. So how did you learn all that you know?
Through Lightworkers Lounge podcasts and having guests on the show. But I also have a lot of books that I've been reading. Yeah, I just recorded one a couple of weeks ago with an astrologer I ran into downtown Telluride, and she, her name's Tara Jade Starr. She's incredible.
What's her name? Her last name's Starr? That's amazing.
No, that's just like her Instagram and her website's name, but her name's Tara
Jade. Oh, I love it.
I know. But I went to a workshop downtown Telluride called How to Find Your Life's Purpose Through Astrology. And everyone has a sign in their birth chart called their North Node. My North Node is in Pisces, which means my whole purpose in this lifetime is to be a spiritual teacher, to be an author, to do something with art. And so when I told her, well, Lightworkers Lounge is a self-help spiritual podcast, she was like, keep at it. This is your purpose in life. Wow. And yours, if you're, if your birth time is right, your North Node is in Taurus, which means you are meant to teach people about food, about how to take it slow, about how to connect back to the earth and animals.
Yay. Yeah. That sounds exactly like what I want to do. Okay, so which time did you put in? 4:35?
I did 3:35.
Okay, change it to 4:35 and see what happens. Okay. Is it different? But that does sound like me, so I'm just curious. Should I text my mom right now?
Yes.
Okay. I'm texting her.
Wow, okay, so your rising didn't change. Neither did you. So you're still all fire.
Oh, okay, cool.
Everything looks about the same.
Yeah, I think that I had done this one time online because there's some places that you can Google it, right? And like, there's like little places to put it in. I think I did that one time, and I went through this thing that I couldn't remember if it was 4:35 or 3:35, and so I tried both, and they were, I think that they were the same. So that's cool. Yeah. So that's good.
Wow.
So she doesn't really know. So one time I, do you know anything about like, are you Vedic? Kind of like charts or something, basically like what the stars were like. Is that what it is?
Yes.
Am I just making it?
I've heard of it.
So when I was there in Vancouver a couple years ago, I went to this lady, her name was like Astaria or something. Like she had a really cool name too. That like totally applied, like it was just perfect for what she was doing. Mm-hmm. And she, one of the things about me was, and I don't know if this, you know, I don't know how I feel about these past lives and things like that, but was that I had been a healer in my past life, and then I had been prosecuted for it, basically. Ooh. because people, if, you know, I don't know, 500 years ago, if you were a healer, you were considered a witch.
Of course.
Or if you also, and if you were open-minded and spoke your mind, then you were also a witch. So apparently that was one reason why I was holding on to like trauma in my gut area. Wow. You know? Yeah. It was super
fascinating. Did that resonate with you? Because I love that.
Totally. I like cried. I mean, I was like crying. Like everything that she was telling me, I had like tears streaming. Like it just totally resonated. And I had like tears streaming down my face when she like told me like the exact date that I would heal and how things would like change. And it's been right. Like she was totally right.
Oh
yeah.
Okay. I got it.
I know.
That is so neat.
So what is your, like for Lightworkers Lounge, What's your goal? Like, do you have a goal for it? I mean, other than Divine Banana.
6, 11, 11.
What do you see in the next year?
I'm covered in chills because you're asking me this and the clock just turned 11:11 here in the mountains. And now I get to talk about my
Oh my gosh,
manifest. My goal with Lightworkers Lounge is to host retreats. I want to create a safe space for people to come and just experience nature because, my God, I've seen Charleston, I've seen Telluride, I've seen some of the most beautiful places in the world, Costa Rica. I want to host retreats, like full moon circles or just retreats where people come and they have a safe place to talk about their twin flame relationships or their zodiac signs and their birth charts or simply just be around like-minded people. Very basic. And I want to have Lightworkers Lounge be a physical building, maybe here in Telluride, but maybe in Key West, my other sacred space, where people can just come in and be like, where's Steph? Where's Jeff? And they'll have like tarot readings in one room, a birth chart astrologer reading your charts in one room, the acai bowl cafe, and just a place for people to hang out. And of course, keep growing the podcast.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Can I please come?
Oh, well, you will have a key to the place. Absolutely.
Oh, my gosh.
Our Lightworkers Lounge is about to hit 100,000 people. I don't like to say followers. Friends, wow. This week. So it's going to be a very big week for us.
Friends.
Yeah.
Oh, Instagram fam, my gosh.
That's what I call them, my Instagram fam.
They are your Instagram fam.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And you started Lightworkers Lounge just like a year. I mean, what? It was like a year and a half ago or
something? It was January 2018. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And I literally,
I feel like
I just started it as a hobby. I just thought I have so many stories to share of things that I've been through, synchronicities I experience. I see 222 and 1111 all the time. I want to just put it out there and see if anybody feels the same. Like, I can't be the only one that sees 1111 all the time. Boom. It exploded. Mm-hmm. And it's been quite the journey.
Exploded. Yeah. I mean, I just feel like there's not a lot of other people, I don't know, talking about these things.
Yeah.
You know?
And one of my most popular episodes is the one I had about my divorce. So I got a divorce last year, like exactly a year ago. And it was really, really tough. I knew it was meant to be and meant to happen because I felt that intuitive knowing that it needed to take place, but that doesn't ease the pain. So I recorded a podcast episode that was more like a dear diary where I just spoke how I was feeling. I mean, I literally grabbed the microphone and just talked into it as if I was talking to a best friend. And then towards the end of the episode, I had an open letter to my ex-husband just saying how I felt and thanking him for the years we spent together. It was very, very emotional, but it's one of my most popular, and I have at least a few messages every single day in my inbox of people who said, you know, I wanted to get a divorce and you just gave me the last straw of courage that I needed. So thank you.
Wow. I mean, that must have been really therapeutic for you as well.
Extremely. So that's why I'm always telling the community, like, thank you guys. You guys always say thank you to me, but thank you. Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah.
And I just started.
I mean, I don't have $100,000, but I feel like my Instagram is my family.
They are. They totally are. And people.
And I've met some really cool people. You know?
Yes. And we can talk logistics here because I get questions all the time. How do you grow your following so fast? And literally, you have to always put them first, not necessarily yourself. Like, what do they need to hear? What do they want? But treat them as family. Be yourself. Don't post things just to post or like put on a front because people can sense that. Even through social media, they know when you are just talking out of your ass. Be yourself. Just be authentic. Even when you think, gosh, am I sharing too much? You're not. You're totally not. Put it out there.
That's how I feel. I feel like, in my mind, I'm like, do people really care?
Yes.
Like, should I post this?
And even if they don't, like the people who start podcasts and blogs and give up because they don't reach 100,000 followers in 6 months, that's your sign that you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing in this lifetime. Because even if I had 5 followers, I would still post a podcast every week because I love it. It's so much fun. Even if just my friends were listening, I would still do it. It's just the people, the 100,000 people that now follow us, I think they can feel that. They're my friends. I genuinely care about them. And I would do this whether or not I made money.
Yeah. I think a lot of times people feel pressured. I mean, I feel pressure a lot with social media to just post. Like they say, oh, you need to post this much a day, or, you know, you can't post more than this. And there's like this formula that I don't know, that we're told they're supposed to be.
Yeah. Oh yeah. People ask me all the time, what app really do you use to post every day? I'm like, what app do I use? They're like, yeah, don't you schedule your post? I'm like, dude, no. Sometimes I don't post. So I only post when I feel it. And I know if there are empaths listening, they know. If I don't have anything to say, or I have a writer's block, or I just don't feel it, I'm not going to post. Because every time I do, I force myself, just because, like you said, it's logistics. You need to post X amount of times a day. I'll get like 500 likes compared to 11,000 on a post that I have a lot of energy.
Wow.
People feel it. They totally feel it. So only do it when it feels right. Even if you have to take 5 days off, do it.
Wow, I really needed to hear that.
Yeah, it's totally okay. Your friends aren't going anywhere. They have their own lives too.
Yeah, I feel like I get too much in my head about it, you know.
But you're a fire sign. Of course you do. And you're competitive. So you're like, I'm going to keep going and going and going.
Oh my gosh, I'm so fiery. I mean, isn't it better to be balanced? Is this bad? I mean, I don't know. Is there like a bad way to be?
So the thing with astrology is there's good and bad with absolutely everything. So your chart is not bad. You have a chart of someone that will accomplish so many things in life because you're not afraid to fail. Wow. Mm-hmm. Your Mercury is here as well. So I can totally see that in you. You've just got that aura to you that people feel so comfortable talking to you, and they'll listen to you because you're alluring, you're warm, you're bright, you're burning. So people just want to flock to you like a moth to a flame.
Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. Today is a great day. I'm feeling good.
That's right.
Woo! So if somebody else wants to like find out about their zodiac, their astrology stuff, their moon, their rising, how can they go about doing
Lightworkers-lounge.com, or find us on Instagram, Lightworkers Lounge. And I pull the charts myself still. So you can just go to my website, and we have two different types of charts. We do a basic chart that's just your sun, moon, and rising, because that's really the big chunk of who you are. So that's the one I recommend for beginners who are listening to this, like Venus and Cancer, Mercury and Leo. Like, what are you talking about? Well, if you're a little more advanced and you know your sun and moon, then go ahead and get the advanced chart. And I'll tell you your Mercury, your Venus, your Jupiter, your Saturn. And it just paints such a vivid. I'm going to send you your chart after this, actually, because I really think you'll have a lot of aha. Okay. And it'll tell you your struggles with business, with love, with life, but it'll also tell you your strengths and what you need to develop in this lifetime.
Yeah. And just makes everything make more sense, I feel like.
You have your
why certain things, why you react certain ways, or yeah. And then you also do tarot card readings. You did one for me one time, and it totally was like on point with what was going on at that time.
Yep.
Which was really wild.
Oh, yeah. I love doing those. And I limit myself to only 5 a day because I have to recharge and replenish my energy, because I tap into people's energy. The same way when you are texting someone, and can you ever feel when they're mad or when they're sad or they're just feeling low? Yeah, that's how it happened to people's energies. And I love it. I definitely need to protect myself sometimes because I work with people with a lot of heavy emotions, but I just love it.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, I guess we will, wrap this up. I could talk to you all day long.
I know. I got to come back. You need to come on Lightworkers Lounge, my girl.
Oh, my gosh. I would love to. And and 100% you will be back on here for sure. So, awesome. Well, like we said, if to find Stephanie. Oh, you also have a personal Instagram though. You got to talk about that one is.
At Stephanie's underscore destiny. I document all of my adventures through travel, through growing Lightworkers Lounge, love, life, everything's on there. So come hang out with me. You're my Instagram fam.
Yay. You just have such a great energy. I love it. Love it. Okie doke, girl. Well, we will chat again soon.
Yeah. Goodbye, everybody. Peace and plants.
Peace and plants. 'Cause Stephanie have such a great energy. Her positivity and passion just exudes from her voice, you know, you can just hear it. And I can tell you that meeting her in person, it is even more powerful. She is just such a magical human being and I love her so much. I can certainly say from experience that the emotional and spiritual side of healing is probably the most important. If that area is not addressed, then it's going to be nearly impossible to be 100%. If you can work on healing your mind and spirit and try to get through some of the past trauma, current trauma, stress that's happening in your life and try to tap back into a higher source, nature, all those things, then everything else will just fall into place if you're doing the right things. All the kale in the world can't heal that piece of the puzzle. You got to look deep within. For that part. So there's my tip for the day, guys. Until next time, peace and plants.